I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast, your favorite podcast on sex.
And your favorite thing on Tuesdays.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday or Wednesday if you're listening on Thursday or Friday, too.
I prefer cunt.
Me, too.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to be done with Thursday, then.
What would Thursday be?
See you next Thursday. It would still be cunt.
Oh, that's true. I like that.
But we're sticking to Tuesdays, everyone.
I like it. I like it a lot. So welcome to Shameless Sex Podcast. This episode is on penis shame. We're talking all about penis shame from the aesthetics of the penis to the performance of the penis. And there is so much shame out there for the penis, whether you are a penis owner and you've experienced it, or maybe you've shamed a penis. And that's not, you know, that's not what we recommend. Let's be nice to all the genitals. So we're going to talk with Solomon, someone who went through the Somatica sex and relationship coaching
training.
Is
it Solomon or Solomon? I thought it's just like Solomon.
Oh, you're right. It's Solomon.
Yeah.
It's the last name of my ex-partner.
Yeah. Remember we talked about it. I don't know if it was before or during.
Who I've never said his first name on this podcast, actually.
Uh-oh.
Okay, there you go. That's fine. They don't know his first name.
Okay.
Good luck Googling him.
His first name?
Is Bob. Him. Bob. So anyways, we'll dive into this in a moment. April and I just got back from Costa Rica. We told you that we were in Costa Rica. We were at a retreat. I'm just going to say this. April's probably like, ah, fuck Amy, you're going to say this. that we posted a photo on our Instagram. Go follow us on Instagram, by the way. We posted one of us in our bathing suits in Costa Rica. We actually went there, one, because... God, we need to get away from COVID. But also we went to a healing retreat to do a lot of therapy on ourselves, and we really needed it. If you see us now, at least I can speak for myself. You look pretty damn good too, Chip. You're also like ready to get on camera for Hot Octopus. I feel more alive and happier and more clear than I have in many months. And I think a lot of it was going out and getting there in nature and doing a lot of that therapy that we did together and apart there for a week. And then we got to go to the beach for a little bit. But I essentially feel like I went there to save my own life. There were a number of people. We posted a photo of us on our Instagram, our Shameless Sex Instagram, and there were three or four different people that were like, how dare you, white privilege. I understand. Yes, we are fucking privileged to be able to do that. I am fully, fully aware of that. And I'm grateful that I have the ability to do that. And here's the thing. If I don't go and work on myself, I can't help other people. Like, I can't show up here on this microphone and try to share sex positivity with the world.
You got a debit into your machine that is you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And at the same time, yes, I'm privileged and I want to find all the ways that I can share.
We also
and
haven't
back.
Traveled as much or at all, really.
We
since,
used to every month. Jesus.
Right. And for me, it's part of that nourishes my soul. Everything in California has been pretty much, especially where we live in Santa Cruz, has been shut. I mean, to the extent of, we didn't leave our homes for days, months,
weeks.
I mean, it felt like years. And
especially in the winter, it's like, oh my God.
When we weren't sure if that trip was going to happen and we had to get tested basically to even enter back into the country. So I felt more comfortable, and I'm upfront with anyone that I'm going to come in contact with that I have been in an airplane.
Yeah.
And I actually feel safer on an airplane these days than I do
the grocery store.
100%. Yeah.
Me too.
There's a
yeah.
lot more room for error because you're touching so many things, and on the yeah. airplane that you have to wear two masks now, and
yeah.
they're very cautious. And we carry it on our luggage, and I'm happy that we did it.
I have two doctor friends who are very COVID cautious, who also have
both
gone,
been traveling.
Yeah, well, and they're not doing it regularly, but they're like, this is my fucking sanity.
Yeah.
Because they need to help people. And so they need to be able to, and they are privileged. And so I don't want to discredit that we have this, but I guess, you know, here's the thing is like, do I just let myself kind of fade away here? And yes, I could do therapy here, but that type of therapy that we did there, it's not available here. It's just not available here right now. So,
and it was nourishing, and it was a health and wellness kind of experience. So there, it wasn't an all-inclusive, get wasted and drunk on the floor until you throw up kind of retreat.
We can do that at your house.
We can do that at my house. It was a nourish your body and your soul, meditate and check in and journal.
A lot of meditation.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's the soapbox there. So if you want to follow our Instagram though, we're there. And if you have opinions about that, that's okay. Like we all have different opinions right now. I feel like no one knows how to do this the perfect way, but I know what we can do is try to do it in, you know, in a good way, in a helpful way, and to try to stay healthy within ourselves and also keep the people around us healthy as much as we possibly can. And that's, I feel like that we, that's what we did. So
and now let's talk about the people that love us.
Yeah, we have a testimonial. Me. Oh yeah, I'm reading it. So I was like waiting for you. So this testimonial is based on a podcast episode that we did on threesomes, but we talked about HPV on that. So they said, and I will keep their name anonymous, I wanted to thank you for your comments on herpes and HPV on your recent podcast about threesomes. I contracted genital herpes when I was 20 years old and received nothing but negative or false information from my doctor and society at the time. I thought I was broken and attempted suicide several times until finally settling into a loveless and sexless marriage with an abusive and manipulative woman, simply because I believed that I was worthless and would never find anyone better. Now I'm 44, and it's only been within the past few years that I've learned the truth about herpes. That the stigma and shame are much worse than the disease itself. As a result, I've experienced the sexual awakening that I missed out in my youth. I found someone with the same sexual interest and energy as me, who just so happens to have been my first love in high school. Mm-hmm. And we are like two teenagers exploring and experimenting this new reality together. Thank you for all that you do. Keep up the good work.
That's so sweet.
I know. I love hearing that. It's so, so, so sad that people think they're broken.
Yeah, no matter if it's genital herpes or there's genital warts or you've contracted something
chlamydia,
along
gonorrhea.
Your sexual journey. And herpes is one of those that can be contracted without actually exchanging fluids. It's a skin-to-skin thing. So sometimes you can give the good old... handshake of the vulva handshake.
Then what? Two vulvas rubbing on each other,
or just a hand touching a vulva, or there's no condoms don't protect against herpes, so you can contract it from mouth to genitals or mouth
to
mouth.
Like the hand touches the vulva and then touches the penis, and is that possible?
I don't know. There's all sorts of research that just says it can live outside of the body for a while. It can live on towels. It can live a lot of different places. So and no matter what disease,
I know people have had herpes in their armpits.
Infections. Yeah.
Yeah, in their eyes, in their nose.
You can get it in very bizarre places that you wouldn't think it's not even...
It likes moist places.
Yes.
It's like moist, I want to live there.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
You get it on your butt cheek.
Ooh, like right on the cheek? Well, we don't know the perfect, what they say, like 80% of the population has, and that includes oral herpes, like cold sores and things too. But we talked a lot about, we also have that really wonderful episode with Remy on STIs, STDs. Who's a nurse practitioner, goes in all about it. And guess what? We have a sex question on Seth Taylor.
Which is incredible. So thank you for the testimonial, listener.
We love you.
If you're anyone else out there feeling as this person did, just know that we love you. We got your back.
Yeah.
So, sex question. Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
3 years ago, I, vulva owner, was diagnosed with herpes. No symptoms. I just asked for all of the tests because I had gotten eaten out and fingered. That's all. I told my friends, one of which is now my partner of 2.5 years, and he, a penis owner, has never tested positive. Basically, this sucks because we want to explore outside of our relationship, but the herpes makes it hard. Do I even have herpes? Is this something I actually need to warn other partners about?
This is a great question because I think this happens a lot with people. They go get the full panel and they've never had symptoms and they're like, you have herpes. And they're like, what?
shots.
Yeah, they're carrying around a virus that hasn't been activated. It's just dormant in their system.
Never had symptoms. And then they think there's a... I've actually seen clients that had this. And all of a sudden, they were like, I need to tell every partner. I can never have unprotected sex. No one will ever want me. I've never had symptoms, though. And I think this is a perfect question to follow up that testimonial of how common this is. This person who asked this question, you may never have symptoms. Mm-hmm. You may never actually have an outbreak for the, because this is a virus that can just hang out dormant in your body.
And that's where the tricky part comes in. The tricky piece is sometimes folks can carry herpes and they can give that to other folks even without being knowledgeable of it. Maybe they were having a slight symptom of an outbreak that was happening, that buzzy, tingly feeling. If you've ever had HSV-1 or herpes on your lips, you get this buzzy, tingling feeling. If it's on the genitals, it's similar. Your lymph nodes can get swollen. And what happens is sometimes you're unaware. It's when your immune system can be threatened or weakened, which right now a lot of folks out there have poor immune systems with stress and other viral things that are going on. And so if they're unaware of that, you can transmit it to folks. However, it's so hard to say if you feel that you're in that outbreak, that zone of having an outbreak soon, you can get a prescription to minimize that.
Or what is valacyclovir?
Right. Yeah. The generic or Valtrex. And that can help minimize it. And you shouldn't have contact with other people in that time period if you don't want to expose them. And also, I guess the best thing to say is if you test negative for it, which I believe you said...
They tested positive.
They said they tested positive. They've never had any symptoms.
But so, their partner tested would never negative. Test positive. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so it just comes down to historically, if you're conscious about knowing what the symptoms are and you minimize it with arginine...
Less arginine, less more arginine. Lysine. And you can Google it to see what that is. I keep a list on my phone because I have oral herpes on my face hole. That I got 18, making out with someone who said they had a sun blister when I lived in Hawaii.
Classic.
It was not a sun blister, everyone. I got really sick and within 3 days. I had a huge cold sore on my lip.
You get fevers. It's pretty gnarly.
I was super sick. Yeah. I had canker sores all in my mouth, down my throat. It felt like swallowing glass. Ugh. And the doctors in Maui at that time, they, I can say, didn't really help that much, but they did give me some Valtrex, but it was too late. So here's the thing. When you take that, you need to catch it early. You don't do it when it's like full outbreak, the thing is raging. I mean, you can still do it, but you want to catch it earlier. And that's not what this person is asking. But I totally feel for this person that you've been told you have something really scary. And here's what I would say for you. Because you're saying, do I even have it? Do I need to warn partners? What I would do for future partners, I would say, hey, I tested positive for this thing. It's really common. Like 80% of the population has it. I've never had symptoms. I feel really healthy right now. So I personally am not worried about it, but I want to respect you and what you need. So what do you want to, how do you want to go about this? Right. So I can tell you for myself, I don't have genital herpes. I've had two partners that have had genital herpes who told me before we were intimate that they have genital herpes. And they were both very skilled in speaking to it. Here's the last time I had an outbreak. Here's what it felt like to have an outbreak. Here's how I take care of my body. Or one of them was like, I'm feeling really off right now. So maybe we shouldn't have unprotected sex because I don't have... I'm not having an outbreak, but because I'm not feeling that healthy, I might soon. So just so you know, this is not a death sentence. And likely most of the people that you're going to share this with probably will still want to have sex with you.
And you're right. You are supposed to notify your doctor if you know that you've been exposed to herpes. So if you're a person that is hooking up with someone and they tell you about their exposure to herpes and they believe it's dormant, they believe you're not going to be exposed. If you do get a screening afterward, it is good to tell your doctor you've been exposed to that. It's basically, you just have to be mindful of if you're the carrier of having the symptoms. And I think it's something, I'm looking at the stats right here. It's if you're a sexually active human, your chances of exposure are extremely high. And it's saying that there's only 15% of people that carry the disease or the infection or what it's a virus.
The normal state of humanity.
That won't be able to transmit it, but skin to skin contact. So it's one of those things, if you're a sexually active adult that's had more than one partner, you likely have been exposed to herpes. So,
what I'll say also as someone who has, like, the virus I have on my good old lips, but all these people are like, oh, I really want to make a hole there now. No. It's a gnarly one. It actually was in the middle of my lip, and then it started to grow on my chin when it would come in. But it was better that way because it looked like poison oak instead of herpes. But just so you all know, I got really good at managing it. And when I could, like April said, the tingling, you start taking Valtrex, go on a high lysine diet. And I never gave it to any partners that we know of. Maybe if they got tested, they had it, but they never had any symptoms. So again, not a death sentence.
Yeah. And I think HSV-1, which is commonly the mouth version, the oral version, is 80%+ of adults. And then genitals, which usually is HSV-2. However, I have HSV-1 on my genitals because I received that a gift that keeps on giving.
Oh my
when
God,
I was
we
17.
Both got gifts. I got mine at 18. Yeah. High five.
So I've never had any oral herpes, but I have HSV-1 genitally, and that is not rare by any means because only 25% of folks have adults, they say, have HSV-2. And this is coming direct from Harvard.edu.
Yeah.
Well, this is Harvard's.
Harvard still doesn't
since
know
2019. They don't. But this is 2019 stats. Oh, so yeah. It says if you have more than one partner that you've been with for longer than 20 years, basically, if you have multiple partners, you've been exposed.
You've probably
herpes.
Been exposed.
So there you go. So you're not alone out there. Yeah. And let's not herpes shame.
No herpes shame.
All right. It doesn't have a nice ring to it. It does evoke some sort of emotion when you say the word herpes. That's why I like to call it HSV-1, HSV-2. People will be like, what's that? And you're like, Google it and find out how many people actually have that shit.
I got the herpes.
All right. Are you ready for a bio?
Yeah, it's bio time.
Thank you for both of those questions.
I like that this whole intro in this episode is about shame, but about like not having shame around with STDs or the look of your genitals. So that is perfectly in line with shameless sex.
You can still have the sex. All right. So here is the bio. Solomon Ballour is a men's neo-tantra and mindset coach. Solomon weaves his studies of sacred sexuality, psychology, and NLP to bring transformation to the men he coaches. He helps men bring back purpose and possibility into their lives so that they can live the life of their dreams. To learn more, visit ecstaticfreedom.com. ECSTATIC freedom.com. But first, you know we're all about seeking pleasure in all areas of your life, from the bedroom to the belly, so why not nourish your body with Saqqara? You get nutritious dishes that nourish you without ever sacrificing taste. Saqqara is a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you eat. And their chef-crafted, organic, ready-to-eat meals are made with powerful, plant-based ingredients and are designed to boost your energy, improve your digestion, and get your skin glowing. And they have a new menu every single week, so you'll never get bored.
Ooh, along with delicious plant-rich meals, Saqqara also offers daily wellness essentials like supplements and herbal teas to support your nutrition. Experience the transformative power of plants with their best-selling metabolism super powder. Made with organic raw cacao, it works to boost energy, eliminate bloating, minimize sugar cravings, and reduce fatigue. And right now, Saqqara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to saqqara.com/shameless or enter code shameless at checkout. That's Saqqara, SAKARA.com/shameless to get 20% off of your first order. Saqqara.com/shameless. Stop thinking about it. Go get it now. And it's interview time. All right, everyone, it is interview time. We are here with Solomon talking about penis shame. And, you know, let's actually put in positive. Penises, penis beauty, penis stigma. Penises are glorious cocks. I think that there is a lot of shame just about bits in general, but we're here to uncover some of the myths, the misconceptions, the ideas about size and shape and look and color and texture. Let's talk about the cock. But before we do, tell us how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. Excited to be on. How did I get here? Well, my journey was about 17 years ago. I started to take personal growth workshops. And they were all about the head and the heart, or head and emotion. And so I did that for 3 years, and I was like, what about sex? I want to learn about sex. So I found a tantra practitioner and pretty much asked her, just didn't stop asking her questions. It was actually tantra massage. And I didn't stop asking her questions. And she finally just gave me a whole bunch of teachers. And for the next 17 years, I've been studying Neo Tantra and discovering for myself about my own sort of sexual orientation. I love women, been with women, and then just always curious about men. And so wanting to sort of discover myself in all the different realms of sexuality. And so just been taking workshops and seminars and trainings and certifications and you name it. I want to learn and I continue to learn. So that's where I'm at now, is wanting to teach this and sort of share it with others now.
And obviously we've talked about, we've done cock mastery podcasts. We've done things about vulvas and vulva shame and body shame. We've never really talked about penis shame. And I work with a sex toy company that specializes in toys for penis owners. And I kind of know the answer to this question. And so I want to layer the question into two. So the question is the average size of the penis when we're, I guess, erect. And I think it's 5.9 inches in the US, and I think it's like 5.8 in the UK, but it varies from country to country. Globally, I don't know if it's around 5.5 inches. And if people are working in centimeters, sorry, we're on the imperial system over here. We can convert that for you. So if you can give more insight, I only know this because of being in like the sex toy industry specializing in penises. I had to Google it and I had a map of penis sizes per country. And I was like, this is really interesting. So the question is, what is the average size penis, and speaking in terms of inches, if you want, and in the US specifically, if you know that, and why do you think so many penis owners have shame about the size of their cock?
Well, so the average is, yeah, it's around 5.9, 5.8. You know, usually the standard, people just say six instead of the, you know, the sort of like 5.9. The average, people are always like six, right? Why is there shame? Well, my belief is that when people are sort of like coming into the world of sex and learning about sexuality, where do they first find that information? Porn. And what do they see in porn is they see very, very large size penises that are above, they're generally above average in these movies, in these shows, in these pornos. And so they then look at themselves and they're like, well, that's not me. So then there's something wrong with me. And that sort of was my sort of like education as well. And sort of like shaming myself of like, well, I can't do what they can do. I can't last that long. I can't do all the things they do. And so men generally what they do is they then put themselves down saying, that's not who I am. So there's something, there's definitely something wrong with me and I can't please my partners.
Yeah, I don't fit in that mold that of everything that I see from the size. And so, and I think some people are listening, like, I'm going to get my tape measure out right now. And they're checking it out. And just so you know, like, cock actually continues on beyond just, you know, the head of the cock and then the shaft, and then it goes into your body. But cock continues on into your body. You can feel it actually under the balls too. So there's a lot there. So, you know, with the question also would be like, what are we measuring? What are we talking about? I remember when I became a certified sex educator in 2008, 2009, they used this very broad spectrum. They said average is between 4 and 6 inches to be very inclusive. You know, so the lower end of the spectrum is the 4 inches hard, and the upper end of the spectrum is 6 inches. And again, speaking in the US, but it's different everywhere. And we're talking about length here, and we're going to talk more about this too. We're going to talk about, you know, the girth and size and veins and things. But let's talk more about the shame that people have. So veins, color, foreskin, and lack thereof. Why do people have shame about these things? Why do they think that there's something wrong with their cock? They don't want someone to look at it or be close to it. What do you think that's all about?
Well, it's either, once again, it's either what they've seen and what they think is normal, quote unquote normal. That's one. The other thing is possibly, and some of the men that I've worked with is when they were younger, or maybe their first sort of iteration with a partner, the partner all of a sudden saw their penis and they went, like they got like, oh my God, what is that? Like, what is that little thing over there? Right. And,
that little thing, right.
whatever it is. And, or what is that sort of vein on the side, or what, why is that color like that? Or whatever it was, they made a comment. And so that person now sort of has this idea about that little sort of birthmark on the side, or the little vein that's coming, that side vein that's coming out, or it's a little curve that now they're like, oh shit, this one person got scared or had a idea about what it needs to look like. And now I'm starting to project that idea for the rest of my life. Mm. And to all the, fellas out there, your penis is perfect the way it is.
Yeah. You're perfect the way you are.
Or as Brene Brown says, perfectly imperfect. So yes. What do you say? This is like a fingerprint, right? We're all different.
We're all different. Every person's genitals is like a fingerprint. So be proud of it. Paint it, put it on a canvas, put it up on your wall and be like, that's mine. That's me. Because no matter what it looks like, no one else looks like you. And I think that's really cool. You may be different, but at least you're not the same. Okay. We're not robots.
Nope.
That's a new hashtag for you.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. So when it comes to tools for overcoming shame and embarrassment about penis size, what are some things that folks that do genuinely feel shame? They don't want to remove their clothing. They don't want people to see their bits. What can they do?
Yeah, totally. One of the exercises that I do with the guy, with the men is, or penis owners, is mirror work is a big one. The other one that I really, really enjoy having them do is I have them stand up in front of a group of men, generally, probably around 10 guys. And they stand up and each person goes up. And the first thing they talk about is they talk about their sort of mind having a conversation with their body. Like, what is the how do they feel about the body? What are their experiences? Then the body talks to them, expressing their body. Like, what does the body want to express? What do they want? What does the body want to the mind to know? And then the third, which is the most powerful for every single one of these penis owners, is the penis actually talks. You actually allow the penis to speak through what is it that it's sort of holding back? What has it been struggling with? What are the things that it wants from you? And every single man either has a tear, a scream, and anger, some emotion that comes out of that penis that is like, you're not hearing me, or I want you to pay more attention to me, or stop having unprotected sex, or stop just playing around. Like, really, there's so many different things that come out of this conversation when they allow themselves to speak through it. And the best part is that they realize that this part of their body is actually wanting them, it wants a connection. It wants some sort of relationship with sort of the mind or them. And so from that point forward, their homework is basically to allow that part of their body, their penis, to say, you know, what is it that you need? Like, what are you afraid of? What are you ashamed of? How can I support you? So that's one of the biggest exercises that really, really supports a lot of guys to move through the shame.
I've done that. I've had conversations with my pussy before.
Yeah.
And I've been like, hey girl, I know I've been ignoring you lately, maybe for the past couple years.
I'm sorry about those skinny jeans I stuff you in.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry about all the tampons I've been stuffing up in you. Yeah. Or about all the times when you've been saying, yeah, this doesn't really feel that great, or I'm not really loving myself and I just bypass you. And I will not say, and you did somatica, so you know this, so we can't say never, right? I'll never hurt you ever again. We can't say that. But I'll say, I'm going to try my best to improve this, to show up for you, start to honor you. And I see the ways that I've left you behind and have not been listening to you. And so for the folks listening who are like, oh, wooey, oh my, I'm supposed to talk to my cock. Yes, you can actually have a conversation with the cock, but it can be an internal conversation. It's just like putting energy into a part of your body that's a very big part of you and checking it out and seeing what does it have to say? What is it? Yeah, like you're saying, what is it afraid of? What does it need? I think is a really, really powerful practice. So okay, let's get really deep in there when about penis size here, because a lot of people say, you know, that everyone wants a big dick, which I don't agree with. I know plenty of people who don't want a big dick. And on also with that too, a lot of people say, well, no, it's not about size. It's about the motion in the ocean. So what do you do with it? What do you think about penis size and pleasure during penetrative sex? How does that apply?
Yeah. So start off by saying it is about the size. And not what a lot of people think when they say, oh, it's about the size. It is about the size. And what that means for me is that the size of your penis, the penis owner, wherever that you want to put that penis in, whether it's a vagina or whether it's a butthole, wherever you want, or mouth, wherever you want to put that, there is a perfectly matching piece to your penis. It's going to fit beautifully. Like I've done sort of my own experiential studies for my own body, and recognizing that some sort of ethnicities and cultures don't feel good to me, and some other ethnicities and cultures feel good to me. So all it is just you needing to find sort of your match to be able to connect to and fit and have a really, really pleasurable experience. So that, to put that on the side. So that's one, right? Recognizing that your size, there's something out there that's going to fit perfectly for you, right? And then there's the sort of getting outside of the idea that, I got to be hard, or I got to be this. All these stories that we make up about how penetrative sex need to look like. And once again, sort of the teachings from my own experience is porno. I learned from porno that, oh, I got to be hard like that. I got to get ready. I got to go. And it's like, no, what about not being erect? It's actually amazing to go inside being not erect. I've had lots of pleasure, and my partners have had lots of pleasure. What about potentially not even going inside? What if you're out on the outside exploring and experiencing that? So there's many different ways of exploring sort of the your penis and experiencing it without necessarily all these stories that we think that it needs to look a certain way.
I actually had a listener call me out on saying that I was shaming big cocks because I commented on I had some intercourse, if you will, some sexy time.
Fornicated,
I did it. And the human's penis was too large for me, and it was very painful. And it was on three different occasions I tried, and it was painful. And I wasn't trying to by any means shame big penises out there. I just said, for my body, I know the way my vaginal canal is. My gyno has told me I have a shallow vagina. I'm like, well, thank you. I guess I'm not a shallow person, but my vagina is shallow. So I do have a better experience with folks that are a certain size. The average size penis for me to a little bit on the smaller size scale is what fits nicely. Also for anal play, folks with smaller cocks, a lot of times that can be really enjoyable, especially if you're beginning anal play as a bum owner, which all of us hopefully out there have anuses to be penetrated if you want to, consensually, of course. So the thing is about the small penis shame could go in two ways. People could also get like John Holmes, almost 2 feet long or something. So there could be big cock shame too. People are like, whoa, that's so big. Right. And I like that you said it is dependent on the human that you're experiencing, and there might be the perfect fit out there. And unfortunately you can't tell. That can't be on your Tinder profile. Like, here's a picture of my vagina.
I have a shallow vagina, so 4 inches.
What do you think about that? So I guess I just wanted to comment on that, because I by no means wanted to shame anyone with big cocks. And I think, and I've told friends that before, where they're like, big cocks, big cocks, big cocks. And I'm like, you know, your vagina is probably just larger, and you need a bigger cock to fill that up to help you orgasm. And that's beautiful too. So I guess my question, which there's a question that lies within. So for folks out there who believe they have a small penis in particular, we could go both directions, large or small, but let's focus on small, because that tends to come up and trigger folks, and they're afraid they won't be able to please their partner. What kind of advice would you give those folks, the smaller penis size owners?
Yeah. I would invite you to first, okay, the first process is to recognizing that your penis is perfect, right? I think that's right. Overcoming that idea that there's something wrong with you. And however you do that, whether through therapy or coach, whatever it is recognizing that your body part is a gift. Like, this is who you are, appreciating it and finding love for it, right? That's the first step. The second thing is finding other ways to, let's just say, for instance, yes, you find a partner that your partner is looking for, you know, you've been together for a while and you're not able to fully sort of satisfy the partner in terms of when it comes to penetration, right?
Filling them up.
Yes, thank you. Fill me up, baby.
Fill me up.
So I would invite you to learn sort of, there's so many different ways to pleasure your partner, right? It's learning how the entire outside of the vagina works, the labia, right? How to find the G-spot, how to play internally with your fingers. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be your penis that is required. That's one. Now, if you're very adamant on, well, I want to explore and experience it with my partner, with my current penis. Well, there you have to realize that penetration is a lot more than just the physical sensation, right? Practice learning the energetics of sex, right? Because there's been moments where I am with my partner and we're just lying down and I am inside of her and I am not moving. And we both have orgasms, right? So just realize that there's so much out there besides this idea that we have that penetration and the physical body movement is what needs to create orgasm. And that's not true, right? There's energetics, there's soft connection, there's slow movements, there's the love and intimacy connection that can heighten any sexual interaction. So there's so much out there, and it's just finding and letting go of the ideas of, oh, it needs to look like this. Mm-hmm. It's discovering and being curious about what's possible and what's out there.
That so fits with the model of shameless sex right here. Yes. Mic drop, shameless sex headquarters, right? It's figure out, make your own rules and don't play by the standards that you saw in porn or that your friend said that I did this, or I like a cock this size, so you should too. Or you go into a sex shop and you see all the dildos that are 7 to 9 inches and wait, that's what I should want, right? But everyone is different. And then all the focus on this hard cock, or it's all about penetration. And I too have had such power. Some of my best orgasms have been when the cock is somewhat soft inside of me and we are not moving, just as what you were speaking to,
and
right?
From fingers. Some of my best orgasms are from fingers.
Yeah. But most of it for me is about energy. It's not necessarily about the movement. And I know that skill has something to do with it as well. And confidence, there's all these different things that come into play. And yet we put so much focus on just technique and your body part. And that's too much pressure because you're born a certain way that you really can't change that much. And technique, yes, we can learn, but then we can be really heady, and not every technique works with every person. So it's always different. So what would you say are some tips for a partner to support or empower their smaller penis owning lover?
Oh my God. This brings up a lot of emotion for me, because one of my ex-partners, she really, really supported me in recognizing, I had a big judgment about being soft, and whenever I am in the sexual act, being soft was wrong to me. Like, oh no, you're intimate, you're connected, you're naked, you got to be hard. And she really supported me. And what she did was, whenever we were naked and we were starting to get hot and heavy, and this came up in our second or third time sort of being intimate sexually together. And I told her that I was afraid that I'm not going to get hard around you. And so for the next 3 or 4 times after that we were intimate, every time she would literally just look at my penis and be like, hard or soft, I love you. Hmm. Hard or soft, I love you. And I just, those three or four times, I would just start sobbing and crying. So to those partners that have small penis lovers partners that have small penises, please just acknowledge the penis, acknowledge your partner for that penis, really look at them and say, I love you however you are, whatever the size is, doesn't, like, really just keep reaffirming that to your partner and support them to overcome the shame and shadow of that there's something wrong with them. Because that is truly what is keeping them from being a better lover for you, is that idea that they have that there's something wrong and that they can't please you.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances sex and intimacy. We receive emails from listeners who have tried Uberlube, and the feedback is unanimous. We never knew lube could be this good. It's also less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks experiencing dryness.
Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on my body. And it isn't just for sex. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth before an oral sex session. Totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's beautiful. It looks like a cosmetic product, so I just leave it out on my nightstand totally shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off plus free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast was also made possible by omgs.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made beautiful animated modules and super honest short videos to give you ways to reach even more pleasure. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives.
We all know pleasure is fluid and ever-changing, so why not add more tools to your pleasure tool belt? OMGS is for everyone, so whether you are a vulva owner or you just love vulvas, OMGS will give you the techniques to get your O-face on. There are two seasons to choose from and hundreds of gorgeous videos to explore, so go see what science says about pleasure and visit omgs.com/shameless. That's omgs.com/shameless to get $5 off your OMGS access. Again, omgs.com/shameless. Go check it out. Now back to the show.
I think it's so important. I've actually encountered some penises and the human that owned the penis, where the minute my face would be close to their penis, they would kind of be a little uncomfortable. And I don't think it was about size with those particular people. It was more about some sort of shame around the look of it or the color, or you're talking about softness or hardness or all these different things. And so, and when I teach workshops, I like to, one of the things I like to do, especially, you know, speaking to going down on a vulva, the minute you put your face close to the genitals, a vulva, a cock, whatever, saying, oh my God, your vulva is so beautiful, or like your pussy is so beautiful, or I love your cock. Your cock is so gorgeous, or you know, whatever you can say.
There's some affirmations.
Yeah. And not only when it's hard too, because I think when it's soft will be really helpful as well. And I think we can also apply this to ejaculation as well. You know, if someone comes sooner than you wanted them to, instead of being like, oh, fuck, you are already in, instead being like, that's okay, I'm just happy to play with you. There's so many other things we can do. We have fingers, we have mouths, and you know, there's other ways that we can engage. And because we do know that the brain is so responsible for most of our process. It's like, what, 90% or something of our sexual experience?
It's our biggest sex organ.
Yep, it's a big one.
It's not the.
It's bigger than the.
It's not the penis size. It is the brain,
which brings us to the big dick question.
It's true. So we did touch on it for a second, but more on small penises. So, what about the other side of the spectrum? Someone is quote unquote and air quotes too big. Do they experience shame? Obviously, I believe yes. But what's your experience with this, and what kind of tips do you have for those folks?
Yeah, I have heard a few men or penis owners that have large penises say they have received some It's different, right? It's a different side, right? They haven't received the same sort of judgments or shame. They've received the how it hurts, or it's too much, or can you slow, like, not too far, don't push too much, don't go too far. So for those large penis owners, I would recommend really find out before going in the sort of depth of the vulva, like what, like either put your finger in or ask the partner, like, do you know how deep you are? Like, what is your, have you ever been with my size? Like, really get clear before partaking in sort of the interaction with the partner. And I would invite you to also sort of just for your own sake, just recognize that, yeah, you are larger than average. So you're not going to, and again, it's funny. It's like, you're larger than average, so you're not going to fit many holes.
Yeah, holes.
Many holes.
We can say that on here.
Yeah. So really just, again, I always go back to the idea of curiosity, right? If we were all to be curious in every single moment with a new person that we're in front of, then everything would be different. It's like the minute we come in front of someone and we're already assuming stories about, oh, how the sex is going to be, oh, like, this is going to be like this and this is going to be like that, or like, oh, they have such a big penis or they have such a small penis, that, you know, all these stories that we come up with. Instead, like, really coming in front of someone and being, hi, who are you? What is your story? Like, really coming from a present moment experience of, I'm curious to see what's going to unfold in this moment. I think that in and of itself will change every single connection that you have with people that you come into contact with.
I think I read something about John Holmes in particular, and porn stars that have really huge cocks, they take a lot longer to
blood flow. Huh?
Yeah. To get erect. So that can be a challenge too, for some folks that are quote unquote too big, if they can take longer to get aroused. So I love that you brought in some tips about soft cocks. And it is about sort of, if in a partnership, or even if you're hooking up with someone, the acceptance piece for anyone out there, whether or not the person is big, small, average, Coke can or baseball bat, whatever is happening, that you are patient and releasing any shame, even if it's in your head, just release the judgment, because that, just the energy, like we've talked about, is a huge piece of the puzzle. And to experience pleasure, get into your own body and mash up against that body and learn other places that aren't just the genitals, right? There's other erogenous zones you can tap into. Check out the balls, check out the butt, check out what does a prostate do for you?
There's so much going
on there.
There's
so many things.
And I think also, speaking, so if you're like, okay, so say I'm someone that identifies as, I have a small cock. So you find someone else that, so if you're sleeping with vulva owners, find someone who has a smaller vulva or a smaller vagina, like April right here. Or if you're someone who has a bigger cock and you're sleeping with vulva people, someone who has a longer, wider vaginal canal, right? So for some reason, that's not a part of the conversation. It's really that people are just like, we're moving beyond that, or that's not really what we talk about. And I don't know if we're trying to be too nice or something. And that's not even a mean thing to say, by the way. We're just talking about alignment, just as we're talking about alignment in relationship in the way we communicate or our interests or things like that. And you know, and it's different for everyone, because not everyone cares about having a penis perfectly filling up their ass or their pussy or whatever orifice they're using it in, right? So it's different strokes for different folks. And I did, that pun was intended, by the way. And we can all figure out what works best for us. But I
guess... We need a Joe Rogan, like...
Yeah, where's our editor?
Editor.
Jamie. Is this person Jamie?
Yeah.
Jamie, give me a seltzer. Oh, okay. I don't know.
Give me a whiskey.
LaCroix.
Give me a Dickens.
Yeah, Dickens.
Dickens Ida.
Oh, my God. But I think, so just to sum up what you're saying, a lot of it really is getting clear with yourself, right? It's not just diving in and pretending like I got it all together and I don't have any shame, la, la, la. It's getting clear on what are your stories, having conversations with your body and having conversations with your partners. And by outing that shame or the uncomfortable things that you might be have some embarrassed about, that in itself could burst the bubble, the shame bubble, right?
Totally. Oh my God. Your relationships will completely change.
It's crazy. It's crazy just by that, but all you do is share yourself and all of a sudden you're like, wait, as I say that, now this doesn't feel as scary.
Why didn't I do this years ago?
Now, if you share it with someone though, okay, if you whip your cock out and someone's like, oh, that's it, they're not the person for you to have sex with. Like, that's not your match right there, right? Because that's not a nice way to approach it, right? But if that's their response, and that's not a personal thing, right? I mean, I guess it is a personal thing, but you have the ability to maybe choose to not make it personal because that's on them. That's their bad communication skills / their desire for something different. And people make mistakes. We make mistakes in the communication realm as well. And sometimes people shame on accident. And so if you're a partner and
well,
you say something.
The locker room shame is a real thing.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I've had a lot of penis owning friends tell me about some traumatic experience in a locker room when they were 15.
You have a small dick.
Yeah. And then, or they're not circumcised or they're circumcised. Yeah. And that's a thing too.
Or
so
you have a scar.
It doesn't always come from opposite genitalia or people that have different types of genitalia. It can come from your experiences in some sort of traumatic childhood or adolescent phase where you were shamed and you didn't even realize you were different or you needed that. You didn't ever need that, but that happened to you. So
there's more reasons for partners to lovingly show up and just love the fuck out of your genitals so that you can overcome all that old stuff, all those stories, whether it's the look, the shape, the size, the smell, the texture, the performance, all of the above. These are opportunities that we can help heal ourselves and other people and have better sex.
So Solomon, what do you
did you put a D at the end?
Yes.
I said no. I didn't mean to. If
Solomon.
I did.
Solomon. Yeah. Solomon.
So yeah. I know that you do some work in the field of sexuality, and you probably have a few ways that folks can reach you if they want to work with you, and I would love for you to share any plugs that you have. So if they want to work with you, how can they find you? How can they work with you? How can they get more of you?
Wow. I love that. Ecstaticfreedom.com is my website. So if they want to find me, they can find me there. Send me email info@ecstaticfreedom.com. And yeah, would love to. I work specifically with men and men and couples. And yeah, would love to support some men in transforming their lives and their sex lives. So,
and you don't just do work around the cock, right? It's just about anything about sex, intimacy, relationships, etc.
Any sex and mindset. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Well, I love sex
and minds
and minds and penises and vulvas and all genitals
and wine.
And I was getting there. She likes to complete my sentences for me. And we're not even married.
I was trying to complete your sentence, but
You were. Oh yeah. That's why I threw in a different one. Well, thank you. I wanted to just first of all say thank you to you, Solomon, for sharing all of your wisdom. And hopefully this will help folks out there either be more supportive in their relationships with their penis owner or in the future, be really supportive. And if you are having any shame, hopefully there can be some work around that and you can release that shame. So thank you for that. And thank you for the beautiful wine that is made in this world. I want to say thank you. And Amy and I, as you probably know, if you've been listening to Shameless Sex at all, you know how much we love Margins wine. Why? Because it's women owned, women made. We love penises, but we love wine too. And Megan Bell is an amazing vintner. They call it vintner.
Vintner.
Dick Insider. No.
Dick Insider. What's her next batch? Dick Insider.
That's not really a thing. It's a joke that Amy and I have been playing in on. Maybe we'll post something about it.
I love drinking the Dick Insider.
The Margins wine is so special because she takes underrepresented varietals of grapes. So ones that you probably haven't heard of that aren't as common. And she takes them from underrepresented regions near Santa Cruz where we live. And she only has 2 releases a year, y'all. So if you haven't tried Margins wine and you are new to wine or you are an experienced wino like Amy and I, go check out marginswine.com. If you buy 3 or more bottles and use the code shamelesssex10, you'll save 10%, which is a good deal. And if you buy 6 or more bottles and use shamelesssex15 as the code, you'll save 15%. All of that info is on our website. And one last invitation, not only to buy and drink some wine
and some Dick Insider.
We're not sponsored by Dick Insider.
But go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. We read every single review. We love you. It helps more people get shame-free information and helps them improve their sexuality and pleasure. So if you haven't done so, do so. Right. Meow. All right, y'all. We'll see you next week for another Dick Inside Of. No, for another episode of Shameless Sex. See you next Tuesday. Ciao for now. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.